And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, for those keeping count, we are nearing the end of the Book of Job with about six lessons remaining. After Job, we're going into Genesis. Wow. After Galatians, we're going into Romans. Wow. After 1 Timothy, which we just finished, we're going into Titus. Wow. And we're going to just keep proceeding from this point on, moving into the Word of God. So here in chapter 38, verse 16 of Job, God presents a question that no human being, either from the past or present, could answer except for Jesus. Oh, this is wild. Ready? Just listen to this question. Do you know where the gates of death are located? Like, uh-oh. The answer is a resounding no. No, no such knowledge. That knowledge is beyond our grasp. Hence, silence is probably our best response. Next, Job. Of course, in the wisdom of God, he doesn't stop with that question, which you know he could have. Then he goes, okay, besides death, do you know where light comes from? Do you know where darkness goes? Do you know the path to the origin of light? These are tough questions because nobody has the answer. And finally, speaking of which, how can we not follow the wisdom that comes from verse 31? Do you know the movements of the stars and how they're going to take place? Can you ensure proper sequence of seasons? Of course not. Only God can. No man, in his lack of infinite wisdom, could ever figure that out. Then God drops this really cool thought that we're going to get into. Do you know the laws of the universe? Nobody knows them but God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, keep in mind, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. In fact, it's never been professional radio, and it never will be. Now, you can email us during this show live, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, oh boy, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family actually does have your back.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's good to know people have your back, isn't it? It's good to know people are there for you. It's like, wow, that's a very confident, safe feeling, very secure feeling. Okay, so much to cover, so much time. Let's just, so little time, but so much to do, so little time to do it in. Let me just make this really simple. If you've got a prayer request, reach out to us. Let's pray. And you think, well, what will that do? I don't know. I'll take my faith. I'll put it with your faith. We'll take everybody's faith who's listening. We'll put it up. We'll petition the Lord and ask him to change the universe. Now, how cool is that? Just think about it. Just change the universe, Lord. That's so great, right? Maybe you've got a praise report, something the Lord has done for you, and it's just awesome, and you know it's awesome. And it's like, I got to tell people. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Call up, share your test. Oh, I'm worried I won't say it right. You don't have to worry about what you say. It's only what God does with it into other people's ears that even matters anyway. So you get to share that. You can, you know, share something that's going on. It's not a kvetch fest, okay? It's not an opportunity just to go, I hate this. Okay, that's not what we're looking for. It's not that you can never do that on other shows. We're just here to encourage and strengthen one another. Plus, we also do goofy things like, you know, trivia. Like, here's a trivia question. Who buried the Lord Jesus? Was it Joseph of Arimathea, John and James, or Mary and Martha? Who buried the Lord Jesus? Joseph of Arimathea, John and James, or Mary and Martha? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I want to say this real quickly, give you the trivia question, then tell you we have a contest for tickets, because we do that every once in a while. But first, we're asking the question, and the question simply is this. Who buried the Lord Jesus? Was it Joseph of Arimathea? Was it John and James? Or was it Mary and Martha? You're looking for your answer. You're probably looking at Matthew 27 towards the end of the chapter. That would really help you make that decision wisely. In the meantime, we do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question, so we will send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, happy Monday, David. This is your little brother.
Hello, brother. How are you?
Good. Well, actually, not good.
Good. All right, bro, here we go. I know you're going to know this. You want to know why? Because you are a smart cookie.
Well, I don't know about that.
And don't crumble on me now.
God's grace is sufficient for me.
don't crumble on me now. Okay, here we go.
Cookie. Okay.
Get it? All right, here we go. Who buried the Lord Jesus? Was it Joseph of Arimathea, John and James, or Mary and Martha?
Well, John and James, they were thunder, sons of thunder, and Mary and Martha, that wasn't the women's job in that culture, so I'll go with Joseph.
That is correct, Amathea! Joseph of Arimathea! Correct, Amathea! That is exactly right, brother. Joseph of Arimathea. Actually, it's Matthew 27:57-60 for those who want the reference point. Good job, bro. Good job.
Thank you.
Everything else okie-dokie?
Hey, pray for me. I'm just feeling sick to my stomach because somebody's mistake is costing me, and I don't want to be angry and bitter towards them. So it's like I don't know what to do except to just look to God and His help.
Got it. Let's pray. That's a good prayer. Let's pray it. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you right now, lift up our brother to you. And Lord, sometimes when we're wrong, there is a deep desire to respond with everything we've got. And then sometimes when we've been wronged, there is a deep desire to try and find you in the process and how to be most like you. And somewhere between those two things, Lord, is what we're searching for in each one of us. So here's what I'm praying, Lord. I'm praying that you would give our brother wisdom to know the best way to respond that would honor your name the most and that would glorify you. Whether he overcomes evil with good, as your scripture teaches, or he says nothing, which also your scripture teaches, or there's a rebuke involved, which also your scripture teaches. He needs the wisdom to how to know and to what to do to reflect Jesus Christ in this situation. We trust you for that because you tell us to ask you for wisdom and you'll give it without finding fault. So we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
All right.
God bless you, bro.
All right. God bless you too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. We do have a ticket giveaway for those that still are in the ticket realm. So Jake was going to help me with this one. So I believe it's the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes that are playing the SMU Mustangs. My understanding is this is on October 28th. What I don't know, and what we're going to have to find out, is what time it's at. Does it show you a time? That might be something you might need to help me track down, because I could not find the time. But anyway, it's when the game is on October 28th, Tulsa Golden Hurricanes at SMU Mustangs. So it's a home game for the Mustangs. We have 4 free tickets and a parking pass, right? Do you know what time it's at?
It's at 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Okay, so it's an earlier game, so you can watch the game, still come home, and have a very nice weekend happening with you. So if you have an interest in these tickets, 4 tickets and a parking pass, you have to answer this question, okay? Now, you can answer by text, by phone, or by email, right? You have to answer this, and we'll just keep doing it until somebody gets the tickets. What is the remaining? We did it before, but I think it was a little thin, so we want to make sure we get it right. What is my dog's name? Not the one that passed away, the one that's still alive. What is my current dog's name? If you know that and you want the tickets, you can either call us here at the 972-445-0770 number. You can text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So these tickets are at 11 a.m. for October 28th. October 28th, which is a week from, I think, this Saturday. Right? So it's 2 weeks from last Saturday or 1 week from this Saturday. Okay? Okay. I'll just make sure we'll be on the same page there. Also, we want to make sure, I want everybody to be, I'm not going to do it every time because I want you guys to do it on your own. I want you to be praying for the peace of Israel, as Psalm 122 verse 6 states, that blessed are those who pray for the peace of Israel. You want exactly that taking place. We don't have all the ins and outs, but you know that Israel is the apple of God's eye. And no matter what anybody says, well, everybody's the apple of God's eye. No, that's not what the scripture says. Use the scripture. Don't try and invent the scripture. There's no point in that, okay? And then we're getting ready. We're going to do our DNA. Do we have, by the way, a winner on the tickets? Is somebody winning?
No, the person that called in doesn't have a smartphone.
Okay, so. All right, that'll be a difficult then. Yeah, you got to have a smartphone because we can't send you the tickets otherwise. See how that works? Okay. DNA time, right? You know, you wouldn't believe how much stuff we try to squeeze into this show. I mean, you'd just be like, wow, don't you need another half hour? Yes, but we won't talk about that now. We'll just keep doing the show. DNA, that's our building blocks, how we should function each and every 24-hour cycle. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Withdraw yourself from everything and everybody for some period of time. Go back into the closet exactly like Jesus said to. Don't let anything distract you or disturb you. Don't take your smartphone with you. Don't take any. Talk to God. That's what draw closer means. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. In Luke 9:26, he said, if you are ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you when I return in glory. Like, ooh, bad plan, right? And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means other people become part of your radar. It's not that you never think of yourself. That kind of, it's like almost like silly, okay? No. But when we are so focused on our situation and who we are and what's going on in our life, and doesn't matter because everything's about just our own life, we are hurting ourselves. When you add other people's lives into your life, you get more life. That's the key, right? It's like, wow, you mean God set it up that way? Yes. He set it up that way. All right, we're going to exit. Quick reminder, if you want the tickets to the SMU football game, you can text us, you can call us, or you can send an email. You just got to answer what my dog's name is. That's all you got to do. And in the meantime, we'll take our exit and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
telling me the show's all about you?
Well, this segment is. Okay. Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, while I adjust my microphone. That's right, I'm human. Actually, one time when I was teaching, this really did happen. This is in San Diego. I was teaching, and the microphone fell out of the little carriage thing. It fell right on the table.
I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I just started talking right into it while I was sitting on the table.
In college, me and two guys did a weekly sports talk show.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, live over the air and everything, and then I went to go adjust my mic, and the whole thing just fell and landed on the table, and you just heard a loud bang over the air. And I was like, everything's okay.
Oh, the great things about live radio. It's just so much fun. All right, let's go into our next trivia question, then we'll go into the text. This is a good trivia question. Okay, you guys should know this. All right, what happened after the death of Jesus? What happened? Was there a strong rain, a great earthquake, or a tsunami? Just kind of like a combo, I guess. Strong rain, great earthquake, or a tsunami. No, tsunami's more like a tidal wave. What happened after the death of Jesus? Strong rain, great earthquake, or tsunami? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So it's a simple question. What happened after the death of Jesus? Strong rain, great earthquake, or tsunami? We do have somebody on the phone ready to rock and roll. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Will Rogers.
Hey, Will Rogers. How are you, brother?
I'm great. I hope you're a whole lot better.
I'm doing really good today. I'm going to say something to you, Will. You look at everything that's going around, and it's that part's not encouraging. But then you turn your face into the Lord, and you find out, hey, here's the encouragement. And that's just the answer to all of it is more of him and more of him in me. That's all I want, you know? That's the key.
Amen to that.
All right, here we go. Classic question. What happened after the death of Jesus? Was there a strong rain, a great earthquake, or a tsunami?
Well, let's see. The scripture says that all of creation groans. And given that that was the day of his death, I think everybody got all shook up. It was an earthquake.
That is correct, Amundo! Everybody got all shook up. Now, I thought you were going to follow that with, you know, like kind of a lyrical thing there, but that was pretty good right there.
Oh, I'm not as Elvis.
Excellent job, my brother. How are you doing in general? You doing well?
Doing fine. Thank you, sir.
All right. I'm glad to hear that, brother. I'm very, very glad to hear that. Love you in the Lord. Just you're a solid brother, and we appreciate you.
I was truly blessed to see one of his signs in the heavens on Saturday.
Yes, right? Amazing, right? People don't realize the Lord's still going, I'm up here, it's me, right? That's excellent. Excellent job, Will.
Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you, bro.
And you too, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. It's a great point, no matter what you say. I mean, even the scripture says, look up to the heavens. I mean, God continually speaks. People just don't realize that. Okay. Or people have stuffed in enough cotton in their ears, they don't want to hear it. Okay, that's different. Let's get into this Job text. I don't know how you get past some of this. I mean, I don't know how you get past this one line. I'm thinking if the Lord ever talked to me and rebuked, he rebukes me, but it's very soft, very different than what Job had going on most of the time. All right, so this thing right here, though, okay? So with Job 38, we'll pick it up at basically at verse 16. So I just want you to kind of track what he says. He goes, have you explained? He's still talking to Job, and he's laying it down, right? This is follows our last week, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? It's like you weren't anywhere around, so maybe you should be quiet. But even getting into the deeper, not philosophical, but more penetrating moments of life, verse 16, have you explored the springs from which the seas have come? Have you walked about and explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me now if you know. Where does light come from and where does the darkness go? I love these questions, and you know I can just, you know, jump past all these and just, you know, okay, this is this. Then Job, you know, got, there was redemption. So sorry. No way, man. Look at that verse. Think about the complexity of verse 17. Do you know where the gates of death are located? Forget everything else, right? People know about dying. Do you know where the entry point for death is? It's somewhere. Do you know? And it's just like, you just think of what God is saying. It's like, okay, yeah, where's the entrance line there for death? I mean, how do you get into the realm of death? Who opens that corridor for you, pal? What do you know about that? Nothing? Oh. And all of this, again, just reinforces our need to get into that exceedingly high level of appreciation that God is in deeper control. I'm going through my Genesis study now. I'm almost done with the book. I still have like 10 chapters to go. But, you know, by the time we start and everything, we'll be pretty close to what I need it to be. And it's just, you just look at the things that took place in all these people's lives, and there's not one of them that could have figured out there was a plan the whole time. And you see, for us, and I hate to say it because we're poor at it, but there is just this plan that is deeper than us, that is wiser than us, that is more profound than us. And what God is doing is challenging Job not understanding the plan of God. And you know how it sounds. Well, I'll do whatever the Lord wants, but I sure wish I understood, and then just fill in the blank. And if he was standing in front of you in a whirlwind and speaking, I just get the impression, yeah, it'd be none of that. there'd be no questioning, nothing. Be like, nope, okay, done. And then just dropping this question. Okay, in regards to death, what do you know about where I'm keeping death? Nothing. Okay. So maybe you don't know as much about my plan as you think you do. I mean, maybe you like me and you try to walk along with me, and I appreciate that. But let's not call my – this is what God's saying to Job. Let's not call my wisdom and knowledge into account, because you don't even know, wait, where the light comes from. Yeah, I do. There's a little switch on my wall. I flip the switch and the little lamp comes on. Right. You don't even know where the darkness goes. What do you mean goes? I mean, you know, the physics tell us they don't know where darkness goes. They don't know where light comes from. Don't be ridiculous. And these are the things that the Lord challenges Job in, because Job doesn't get what's going on. Do you know how many times I personally have said to God, why? He owes me no answer. Better yet, why aren't I trusting him? That might be a better why. Because I'm not. I'm doing terrible in that realm. Oh, I do good in certain areas, but then there's other areas I do terrible in. I'm just like you. I'm just like everybody else. Like, no. Only I think Jewish people complain more. I do. That's just my – I'm just taking that take. I don't care what anybody says. Just look at the children of Israel. Okay. I'm just saying, in the nature. But here's the bottom line. We don't know anything about death and its entry point where God keeps it. We know nothing about where light comes from. We don't know where the darkness goes, and we don't know what the plan of God is. But we do know he's revealed himself as to what type of character he has, and he's never – failed one of us ever. So to be people that complain, that's why God said in Malachi, you have wearied me. How have we wearied you, they asked. You have wearied me with your words. Ouch! Right? We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Where did Jesus's ascension take place? Was it in Damascus, Bethany, or Ephesus? Where did the ascension of Jesus take place? Damascus, Bethany, or Ephesus? According to Luke 24. Woo-hoo, that's a big one right there. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You can reach out to us and call us if you want to. 972-445-0770. Joanne and Cordelia nailing it early. 214-210-8483. That's the text. David@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. Why? Because we ask for money, and I can make a big deal out of it. But I'll just tell you, if you can give, give. And if you can't, don't. There. That's the big deal. Check that all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
You know, I still think I have more fun than anybody else on radio. I don't know what it is. See, I hear that. I've heard that 100 times. It's hilarious. I just don't know why people don't realize that's hilarious. That's what Noelle says to me. This is why I'm worried about you, honey. Why? Because you think stuff like that's funny. That's what she tells me.
I just think it's funny how long it goes on.
It just drones. It drones and drones. And you're like, at some point, you just got to start counting, right? You start counting. It's seven. I mean, it's just like there's seven buzzers. It's just like, okay, is there another one? Okay, we're done.
the first time it played when I was, when I first started here, it kept going and going. And I was like, oh, it's still going?
Did you put an end in this one or not? That's hilarious. All right, your trivia question is, where did Jesus' ascension take place? Was it Damascus, Bethany, or Ephesus? This is according to Luke chapter 24. You want to be verse-wise in the 50s range. Everybody's doing an excellent job on this one, by the way. But until we have somebody call in, I'm going to wait to tell you the answer. So if you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I've got so much to cover that I don't even know if I have time to do the history. That's how much stuff I have to cover. That's a lot of stuff, right? I want to go back to the text. If you want to answer the trivia question, you can, but this is just I shudder at this moment here. See, I love this stuff because I think if you're standing there next to Job and God is answering, you know, and he's asking Job these questions, how would you respond? I mean, how would you respond if you were Job? And then again, how would you respond if you were just standing there going, I'm really glad I'm not Job. I mean, would you not just be like, ooh, ooh. So after the Lord kind of, you know, blows everything apart for our pal Job, and he does blow it apart pretty good, He says this in verse 38. So we do have somebody calling in. I'm going to give him a chance to answer the trivia question because this is going to be a long, semi-long rant. That's okay. We do have somebody ready for that. Okay, let's send him on through. We'll give him a chance to answer the trivia question, then we'll go from there. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing much better, Gary, and I'm just going to believe, I know you prayed for me over the weekend, and I am doing a lot better, so I just want to thank you for praying for me. I appreciate that.
I did pray for you. I prayed for your family.
Thank you, brother. I really do. I mean, you're not supposed to say you covet the prayers, but, you know, I really do appreciate it. It's great. It's a great way to know that people are covering your back before the Lord, and it's awesome that you do that. Okay. All right. Big question here. Ready for this? Did you know right away or did you look it up? I mean, this one.
I actually had to look this one up.
Yeah. It's a tough one, right? At first I thought, well, it's one of those two. All right. Where did Jesus' ascension take place? Was it Damascus, Bethany, or Ephesus?
Bethany.
That is correct, Amanda! Luke 24, chapter 24, verse 50 through 53. And I was like, yeah, that's a, you know, that they could have made that question really hard. And so I think they gave us two outliners to help us with that. But I had to think, what was that, Bethany? I thought it was Bethany initially, but you had to look it up to verify. And it's like, yep, that's Bethany. So, hey, let me pray over you, okay, because I want you to have a blessed week. Let's do it. Father, I want you to bless my brother Gary. I don't want him to just be blessed. I do want him to be blessed, but I want him to be blessed also with your healing power in his body that can make a difference for how he lives his life, that testimony can be a part of all of our lives. Father, do it to glorify your name, to honor the name of Jesus, and to bless your kids. We pray for Gary. Heal him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, and I'll continue to pray for all of you.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so we're back here at Job 38, and so he goes through this list of things that he says to Job. Now, just slow down, because this part's just going to go, it's going to go wild there. But in verse 20... He's just finished. Where does light come from? Where does the darkness go? Can you take it to its home? Do you know how to get there? Now, verse 21, this is a shift in how God is talking to Job. So I want you to just think you're standing next to Job or sitting, because I think at this point you're probably sitting down. Okay. He goes this. He says this to Job. But of course you know all this, for you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. It's like, for those people that don't think God is sarcastic, you have not read this book. That's all I'm going to say. You do not. People are like, no, sarcasm, that means to cut in the Latin. That can't be right. Listen to what he says. Oh, of course you know all this because you were born before all the things were created. You're so experienced, Job. That's the height of sarcasm right there. And then he does this, and we'll go through it. It's just wild. He goes, have you visited the treasuries of the snow? Have you seen where the hail is made and stored? I have reserved it for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Where is the path to the origin of light? Where is the home of the east wind? He just keeps going and going and going until he says this in verse 32. Can you ensure the proper sequence of the seasons? Stop. There is no bigger blatant lie from mankind that mankind is the one that's going to affect the seasons. So absurd. It almost makes you want to vomit. God is in charge of the seasons. He decides if the sun even rises the next day or doesn't. He decides how many days there are going to be and how many days there are not going to be. Can man have an impact on the environment? Sure. Are they in charge of the seasons? No. Can they affect it where it changes God's command? No. Can they have an impact on it where all these things that we're concerned about are stronger, greater, or more powerful than God? It's absolutely ridiculous to think that the power of the creation is greater than the power of the creator. It's stupid. And you're right, that's a terrible word. I know. That's why God uses it 15 times in the scripture. Jesus. I didn't invent that word. I just want to point that out. What I'm trying to say to you is, look, God is in charge. And I brought this back, and it goes back to that same Phil. It's like, well, people are like, well, you're trying to tell me that, you know, man doesn't have any impact. Of course, man has an impact. By man's sin, they kind of destroyed nature. We already know that from Romans 1 and Romans 8. But God is in charge of the sequence of seasons. God is in charge of the weather. Ultimately, God is in charge of everything. And man will never wrestle that power from God. In verse 28, it says, does the rain have a father? Where does the dew come from? Where's the mother of ice? Who gives birth to the frost of the heavens? He's just like saying, you don't know any of this stuff. Can you hold back the movements of the stars? No, you can't do it, but God can. Are you able to restrain the Orion? No. He goes, who sends the rain, satisfies the parched ground, and make the tender grass spring up? Who does it? I do that, God's saying. I'm the one that does that. You're not in charge of this stuff. You don't have anything. And this is just, all it's doing is putting man in his place. There's this theory, it's the deist theory, that God created the world and then he left the world, left no communication, just hopes we do really well with it. And there's people that think George Washington was a deist, and he wasn't. That's incorrect, because George Washington believed in the church and the Trinity and everything else. But what the point of it is they think, oh, you know, we're in charge of all of this now. It's like, no, you're not. You are landscapers to God's property. Period. God is the owner. If he decides to, you know, rip it all to shreds, he will. If he decides to make it all plush, he will. But in the meantime, he gives us these smaller position jobs, so to speak. And the irony is that man's arrogance, the arrogance of humanity to act like they have the same power that God has. So he says to him, can you hold back the movement of the stars? Are you able to restrain Orion? Can you ensure the proper sequence of seasons? Hey, can you even guide the constellations? And God's response is, I can, you can't. You know how positive, you know, name it and claim it kind of people say, well, you never use the word can't. Yeah, well, there's some things God says you can't. And here's the answer. Get over it. That's the answer, okay? All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So you know what David did? He asked God again. And how did God answer? He answered him. God didn't go, oh, you asked me twice. Strike you with lightning. Strike you with lightning. It's like, that's not how this works. So the scripture says in 1 Samuel 23:4, go check out your Bible. Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. It's like, go do your thing. Go. It's okay to inquire more than once, even if there's an answer that you've got, because sometimes we look for reassurance and clarity and for comfort and from eliminating hearing mistakes. We're not trying to irritate God. We're not trying to fight against his will. We're not trying to be disobedient. The Lord knows that. See, I think what happens is we'll do something, it'll be sincere action, then somebody else may hear about it, or you mention somebody, and the way they interpret it is different than the way God interprets it. When I come before the Lord, and he says, go do this, and I come before the Lord again and do one of those, are you sure? You know, kind of thing. That's not me trying to be bad. And this is the same kind of thing that happens when you get into the people that you know, one group in Christianity is like, you know, you can't ask for signs at all, because it shows that you either have no faith or you don't believe Jesus is Messiah. Well, first of all, that's not true, because God gave signs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So that's just silly. The other part of that is people asking for signs like Gideon were just like going, okay, I'm just trying not to mess this up. Right? What Jesus rebuked was the people asking for a sign to prove he was the Messiah. That's substantially different than asking God, I just need to know I'm not doing this dumb. Right? I mean, and that's why what we do is we kind of pour into these rules and these reasonings, and it's like, you know what? Don't do that. Come before the Lord. Be yourself. You know, you don't have to you don't have to posture before God. He already knows. It's like, you know, I just want you to know I'm not going to look up right now. Now, if you really feel that way, that's fair. But don't do that because you're trying to impress God, because he knows you're trying to impress him. So then don't do that. Just tell him what's going on. Share your heart. Share your feelings. One of the things that I see about prayer, and this is a true statement. Some people say, well, people pray to get things changed. It's maybe better to say that we pray so that God changes us. That might be more accurate, so that we get into a surrender or a yielded position. It's not that you can't have faith, not that you can't pray, but what I'm talking about is coming and yielding and going, I'm just trying to get the clarity. I want to know what I'm doing is what you want to do. I think it's a very important element for people who are seeking wisdom just to be as earnest and honest as possible. If the Lord grants you a sign, the bigger problem about that is most of the time, like for Israel, they didn't believe it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Already at our last segment. I don't know how that happened, but okay, it did. Here's your trivia questions. Out of the book of James. So that's your big clue. If I'm telling you where it's from, this should give you some insight ahead of time. It's from the book of James. Here's the question. How is faith demonstrated according to James? Is it through love, through pain, or through works? How is love demonstrated according to James? Through love, through pain, or through works? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How is faith demonstrated according to James? Through love, through pain, or through works? In the meantime, we're going to do history. I have decided to drop history into this spot right here. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's go live faith in the past. Let's go live faith in the past. All right. Today is Dictionary Day. Dictionaries are helpful. I find they were really helpful in school for all the degrees that I went through. Did you find a lot of help in a dictionary?
Yes, I did.
The better answers than we could ever give. Like, yeah, I'll just copy that. That's a good one right there. This, though, is a classic, and I'm only going to do this very quickly. Don't get upset. Don't be all upset about stuff like this. Please don't do that. In 1992, on this day, on October 16th, Gilligan's Island, a lost pilot episode was found and aired 28 years after the series went originally aired. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, right?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
And so it was a little bit of a different cast of people involved, and the professor was like a high school science teacher versus the other thing. And so they had a couple of different elements to it. So one of the reasons that I think that Gilligan's Island, now if this offends you, please just don't listen to the show tomorrow. Okay, what I'm going to do. But one thing about Gilligan's Island that's hilarious is that it's one of the few songs that you can initially connect to Amazing Grace. And you're thinking, well, how's that? Ready? All right. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I'm see. Was blind, but now I see. See, that's Gilligan's Island. That's right. Don't tell me that's not funny. Okay, sorry. I had to do that. How is faith demonstrated according to the book of James? Your James 2:17 and 18, through love, through pain, or through works? In the meantime, we're going to close out.
I just thought that Gilligan's Island thing was great. We're going to close out this last segment because there's only one more thing to say about it. It's just too unbelievably amazing. Here it is, verse 33, which this has been turned into a false teaching and a cult, but I'm going to just talk about the verse and then deal with it. In Job chapter 38, verse 33, it says, "Do you know the laws of the universe and how God rules the earth?" Okay. So before anybody says anything bizarro, when God says to Job, "Do you know the laws of the universe and how God rules the earth?" It's a rhetorical question because he doesn't know. But there was this movement in our country under the auspices of something called The Secret, which says that it uses the laws of the universe to get stuff. Absolute lie, period. Lie, period. You, by the way, for those that don't know about The Secret, it was quote-unquote given to somebody who channeled the spirit Abraham, not Abraham, the spirit Abraham, and told you that if you wished upon it long enough, you would get it and it would be yours. That's what The Secret's all about. It's a lie. Not even close. You know who knows the laws of the universe? God. Hey, wait, here's a good one. But Dave, there's a law of gravity. Yeah, not for God. No, it has to be. No, you don't understand something. We're not talking about the laws of Earth. We're talking about the laws of the universe. And they are greater than all the laws of the Earth. Now, going back to my little diss on the lie, Brian Griffin, most of you don't know him, but he's a dog. He wrote a book called Wish It, Want It, Do It. That is no more valid than The Secret. It's all the same garbage. Here's the truth of the matter. God knows the laws of the universe. Well, hasn't he shared all the laws of the universe? No. Well, is he going to? I don't know. What is it we got to know? What he told us. Here's a great one. Why don't we use the truth that faith pleases him and operate in that and then just see where it takes us? Instead of making stuff up, somebody channeling a spirit called Abraham. How absurd. Listen, God controls the universe. If tomorrow we wake up and there's a meteor and it strikes the earth and destroys it, it was God. That's the answer. If tomorrow we wake up and there's no different and everything is just the same, only a lot louder, it's God. And what I won't do and won't let anybody do, actually I won't let anybody do it in around me, is try and belittle God as though we can put him in our box and make him fit the concept we want. He created the universe. He can write a book. He knows what he wants to say. That is why Jesus is called the Word of God. So what's important for us to grasp is that there are laws in the universe that we are just clueless to. Is there something in there that says that if we have faith and God breaches the natural plane and allows something to happen like healing or some kind of miracle or the earth stands still or the universe kind of comes to a halt or somebody who's blind gets to see or somebody who's dead raises up? Yeah, I guess, because it's way past all of us. Yet it's in the hand of God. So all the things that we think we know as people do not align with the superiority of God's knowledge of what the laws of the universe are. Here is the one thing I think that we can all agree upon regarding the laws of the universe. This is the one thing I think we can agree upon. Ready? God is in charge. That, I think, you can probably, that's probably a pretty good safe bet. It's like, God's in charge. Sit down. Step back. And why that's important is because we are not. It's not that we laugh about it, but sometimes we'll discuss that about people are like, I control my own destiny, you know, right until a piano falls on their head. And then they don't. And it's just like, it's so ridiculous. Only God is in charge. You know what? If he allowed you to go through it, he has purpose. Do you trust him that he loves you so much that he's got something for you in that? That's the question. Not what are the laws of the universe, but how are we doing trusting that God is in charge? After all, is there one thing you encounter he does not know? And if he knows every ounce of pain, does he not share that with you as his children? And if he knows that, would he allow it for any other reason but to bring something good out of it? No. I mean, those are all just like, they're just easy questions to answer. Everything you've been through is still in the hand of God. Even the crying when you're alone. And what you don't know is just what Isaiah says, that he weeps with you, but has to allow what he has to allow for his purposes and his reasons. So, do we trust him? Do you and I trust the quality of God? I don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East. I don't know what's going to happen with Ukraine. I understand everybody's got a theory. I understand. But do you trust God for that and for the things in your life? And if the answer is yes, then there's a peace. And if the answer is no, then there's no peace. How is faith demonstrated according to James? James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Faith is demonstrated through works. Faith without works is dead. Love is a powerful component, but it has to have action behind it. Okay? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.